Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Doing all right. Happy National Night Out to across the nation.
I am also joined by Joe, who's in studio with me today.
Hey, guys. What's up?
For anybody that's new to this podcast, this is a conversational podcast for gamers, by gamers, about gaming. And today's topic of the show, which comes from Steven of Nintendo Dual Screens, is what our favorite type of weapons are in games. But before we get into that topic, let's get our party started as we always do. Roberto, what have you been playing?
Quite a lot of games. Definitely got some interesting stuff in this past weekend, primarily on Nintendo Switch. The first game I'm going to start off with is Into the Breach by Subset Games.
Okay, I've heard of that game.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Yeah, so in case you don't know, Subset Games created something called FTL, Faster Than Light. It was like a ship management strategic combat game where the objective was to keep your crew together, keep your ship together, and fight a proceeding generation of more and more difficult ships, and it's not easy. It's some of your crewmates betray you in that one, but if you stay the course, you'll eventually destroy an entire armada with just your little ship. So it was really, really well done. These guys came back and made Into the Breach, which is a tactical turn-based isometric game with 16-bit SNES inspired visuals. And the objective is to fight this horde of aliens that have destroyed the Earth over and over again. Except this time you have the power of time travels. So you can slipstream to other timelines to save the Earth. And it's a really, really neat tactical game. So each level lasts about maybe five turns. There's the aliens, the Vector called, are very, very difficult to take down. They're basically bugs. They do all sorts of shady things from under the ground and above the ground. Of course, you have mechs that are very much inspired by Front Mission, Pacific Rim, things like that. And your objective, of course, is to use your tactics to destroy them. You can actually upgrade your weapons, switch out attributes and passive upgrades, and continuously use all sorts of tactics. So it's a really neat game. That I personally really much enjoy. So we were actually, as a matter of fact, what happened was I finished the game on Friday. Well, I beat the game on easy mode while at the House of Independence in Asbury Park for a live showing of The Completionist. And as we were waiting in line, I actually managed to beat the game after spending maybe over 10 hours on it on easy mode. So not an easy feat, but I had a lot of fun with that one. And then the next game I played on the topic of tactical...
Wait, can I ask you a question
about the
last game?
Yeah.
Now, you said that you manipulate time travel to go into different areas to save the world. Is that a very do they use it tactically? Like, do you have to keep jumping between the different time streams to, like, help you out? Or is it just you just go to this time period, do your thing, and then jump to the next time period?
No, it kind of helps you out in a little bit. Like, it's nothing like the Fire Emblem or anything like that. It's actually that if you lose, one of your pilots gets to come back through time to the next time. Because, like, it is possible to lose, and then that timeline is lost, and then you use your time machine to escape to another time to try again in fighting the Vec. So, you can choose a pilot, and that has survived. And if they have enough experience and they've been leveled up enough, they actually have special skills that allow you, that could be used in combat. So they get leveled up. So you can choose to bring them back through time to you to begin the next cycle, the next battle, in a new timeline to fight back. So, like, yeah, if you lose, you have to start from the beginning, but each campaign can last, like, 20 or 30 minutes. So it's procedurally generated.
It's procedural generated. That's pretty damn cool.
There's five islands, so the objectives change. What the actual battles change. The layout changes, things like that. And so once again, if you lose that battle, you can take that if that pilot isn't dead, you can take that pilot with you through time. And then when you start over again from the beginning, you have now an experienced pilot that's survived so many battles and is leveled up.
So you said you beat it on easy, right?
Yeah.
So now, are you playing it on normal right away, or are you going to play something else?
I'm working on, my next game, which is Tiny Metal.
Awesome game.
So,
did you beat the first one?
I didn't beat it, but I did play a lot of it, and I really did enjoy it. I have been thinking about revisiting on Facebook, and on PlayStation 4. Because of the fact that it's a neat game. Like, it's just every battle can take a long time. It can get bit, you know. And it's like sometimes you're not in the mood to play a battle that lasts like, you know, 15, 20 minutes. So sometimes I'll fall back to something that's a little more instant action. But at the same time, that's a really good game. So the game I'm talking about is Tiny Metal Full Rumble. It's the first sequel to Tiny Metal. In case no one's heard of Tiny Metal.
I love Tiny Metal, so I really need to finish the first one before I can dive into the new one.
So Tiny Metal takes place in the fictional Kingdom of Artemisia. It's from the guys, and the objective is to, of course, preserve and protect the Kingdom of Artemisia from Artemisia's enemies. You actually come across a whole assortment of characters, including an evil army, a supernatural enemy, and even a rogue mercenary organization that's had a history to Artemisia that's determined to help you, but is shady. And it's actually pretty cool. Neat characters. The story kind of takes a backseat, but, you know, it carries along what's going on. The people who made this were actually responsible for the development of Advance Wars, which was actually a really cool, you know, series of portable games back in the Game Boy Advance days. And it does kind of hold on to that. It has the military aspect, the weapons triangle, in a sense, with infantry, anti-armor infantry, tanks, jeeps, helicopters, planes, you name it. So it's pretty interesting. Now, with Tiny Metal Full Metal Rumble, a couple of changes are made. For starters, the characters are all in English. They don't speak Japanese with subtitles. They have English voice acting, so that's actually a nice touch. They also have new vehicles, which include new scout vehicles that actually have anti-air capability, so you can snipe helicopters from a long distance. You have you get access to the radar and the strike truck, which is like the truck that fires like all these rockets. You get that right away. You also have an APC that can load up soldiers and it can travel long distances. But at the same time, you also have to worry about things like ammunition and fuel. So they can be resupplied, but that's just something of a concern. You can deploy hero units and so many other attributes. So I'm still working on it. I'm on like mission 5. But it's pretty cool. It's especially when you're on the go and you need that tactical fix. That's where you want to go. So I haven't really been playing anything else that's been brand spanking new, but I've just been revisiting older games like Warhammer 40,000K Inquisitor Martyr, trying to wrap up the campaign on that one. I played more Warhammer Chaosbane the other day to try and level up. I'm at level 22. The Amazing Spider-Man on PS Vita, working my way through that. And, of course, Warlock's Tower on the Vita from Rattalaika Games. So, just some of the things I'm working on. All right, Matt, what have you been playing? Oh, Matt, oh my god, sorry. Joe, what have you been playing?
Yeah, I'm Matt. So, I've been playing two games this week. For the most part, I played Fire Emblem. I got another 5 or 6 hours into the campaign. I'm really loving it. I've got to the point where I can start reclassing people, but I haven't yet. Kalai, have you done any recertifications yet?
Oh my god, all the time. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just going to change you to this. You know what? You should be this. I'm just changing them left and right like they're a teenager trying to hold down a job to...
I haven't changed anybody yet. I think I'm going to wait a little bit, level some guys up, play some more missions, and then I think at that point, I'll decide, like, what class I really want to make everybody once I get more feel of kind of, like, the characters, really what they want, and kind of where I want my army to be. I mean, the battalions changed a lot of my strategy anyway, because they give a lot of, like, stat boosts. Other than that, I've been playing Mega Man... What the hell is it called? The new one. I guess it's Mega Man X Anniversary Collection for PS4.
Good.
Yeah, it's really good. Did you pick it up, Roberto?
Yeah, it's in my endless backlog, so...
Did you pick it up for PS4 or did you get it for the Switch?
I picked it up for PS4.
Yeah, so did I.
I'm a bit of a trophy hunter, so I try and, like, play anything that has trophies.
Same.
Yeah, but yeah, so how is it? How's it feel? How's it, like, does it play just like it did in the good old days with the SNES, or are you noticing
anything different? Oh, 100%. They're, like, flawless ports of, like, Super Nintendo games. I've only really played through X Collection 1, which is... X Collection 1, which is X1, X2, X3, and X4. And those are all the Super Nintendo ones. Only X1 through 3 are, right?
There's, like, I think the first collection has X1 through 3, and then I think the next one has, like, X, like, the other ones. Or it could, I think the first one has more.
One has 4, but I think only the first 3 are Super Nintendo games.
Yeah. Like, the one I want to play is Mega Man X8, I think it was, or Mega Man 8 or something like that. It was the one with the super-duper bad cutscenes on the PS4.
That's 8. That's on the original Anniversary Collection. That's on Anniversary Collection 2, actually, for PS4.
Yeah, because...
It's not on the first one. The first one is Mega Man 1 through 6. The second one is 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Only because I need to get through that sliding section. I mean, and that game kind of terrified me, but, like, that sliding section... That section could go to hell, but I gotta get through it.
I have to ask you, you're, like, explaining how these games are the original Nintendo games, and you're playing them on PlayStation, you get them on Switch, you could literally play a Nintendo game on a Nintendo console.
Ah, Kalai, good point. So, the Switch version does this bullshit thing where, if you buy the physical version, only half the game is on the cartridge, and the other half you have to download.
Wow.
But you're doing all downloaded system anyways. You're not buying physical.
But, in defense of the PS4, I'd rather have everything on the disc and not have to download half the stinking thing that I got.
Agreed. X1 and X2 collection are both have their own disc.
Yeah, it's like, I just find that so iffy. You know, once again, like, Capcom literally just announced today that... If you have DuckTales is going to be delisted from digital platforms. So just imagine for a moment, you got an
announcement. Is that all platforms?
Yeah. So
PC,
yeah.
Wii U, Xbox 360, yes, PS3.
All platforms. So basically this is that. So imagine for a moment if Capcom ran out of some licensing for Mega Man. And now have, but let's just say it did. Let's just say...
It's Mega Man!
Let's just say Capcom pulled a Telltale and shut down. And they lost their licensing agreement. Let's just say that that's a possibility. How much would it suck of knowing you spent $40 on the Mega Man X collection for only 3 games or whatever, or 2 games to be on the actual cartridge, but the rest of the game that you bought is on a digital store and you can't get it because it's been delisted?
Hey man, that's the digital future. And that's the digital future everybody wants, right?
Well, and pardon my language, but the digital future can lick the sweat off my balls, okay?
I agree.
Yes.
You can fight that fight with Greg Miller.
It can lick my butthole, too.
Okay! Yeah.
So I've been playing X1.
I don't mess around with this, so I'm sorry, Kalai, but...
I don't either. I hate all digital.
Anyway.
So anyway, I've been playing X1. I beat all of the Robot Masters, went back and got all the armor... Went back and got all the heart containers. Went back and got all the E-tanks. And then now I have to go get the Hadouken. So I'm like super unstoppable.
There you go.
And then I'm going to beat the game. And then I'm going to go on to X2. But yes, they play flawlessly, Roberto. No floatiness. The controls are really tight. Graphics look amazing. And then they bundled in this thing called the X Challenges. So you fight two X Mega. You fight two Robot Masters at once.
Right.
At the same time. It's hard.
Oh my
god. Like, gosh. I tried to do it on normal, and I was like, this is bullshit.
It's bullshit, says. It's bullshit. So I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mars.
So here. So here's this week's edition of Joe's Trophy Corner. So here's your tip for the week, guys. If you're trying to get the trophies for beating all the X challenges, there's no difficulty. Just put that shit on easy. And that's it. And you can blaze through them. They're still kind of tough when you get to the last few challenges, but I have like one or two left, and I think I can knock them out tonight probably. And it's a silver trophy. So that's 3% added to your trophy percentage in the game.
Right, if you sign up for placing rewards, you get points that go towards
earning. You know, rewards. I never did that.
What's up?
Do you know how many trophies I have this year and how much money I would have got from Sony? But I never signed up for the rewards because it's so difficult to do it.
No, it's
like
not.
So hidden. All right, you need to walk me through this process because I'm fucking idiot.
Yeah, I'll walk you through afterwards. Let's hear what Kalai has had to play.
Unless you're done. Are you done?
I'm done. I only played two things.
I also only played two things. Unfortunately, Jim was sick over the weekend. And I didn't want to have to run up and down the stairs or make him yell at me. So he was sleeping on the couch. So I was the good wife and stayed near him and used his 65-inch television to play Fire Emblem Fates. So I'm up to chapter 7, so I'm like...
Fates?
Three houses. It's late. I'm up to chapter 7, so I'm way past where you're at. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not the tactical person, so I don't even care what my guys are. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll just switch out their classes and... You know, to see how everything goes. I've been really enjoying the game, though. I've been, you know, I don't like the whole amiibo. You can only do one amiibo once a month. I want to be able to scan my 400 amiibos over there.
When you told me that, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You can only use one a month? I was like, you're lying. There's no way it's only one a month. And I was like, oh, it really is one a month. One amiibo a month. There's like 7 Fire Emblem amiibos. Because there's like 7 Fire Emblem characters in Smash. So you think you would be able to use each one a month, but you can only use one? And all they do is really unlock music, right?
Yes, but they also give you items, and that's why I think that they did that.
Like weapons?
No, like, you know, the tea stuff, the... Maybe weapons, I don't know. I haven't gotten that far, because, you know, you can scan any amiibo you have in the collection.
Oh, anyone?
Yes.
So what, like, random music did they give you for scanning, like... The goblin from... the loot goblin from Diablo.
It's only the Fire Emblem that gives you music. Everything else gives you just items.
Ah.
So, I wouldn't be able to do, like, a Zelda, where I would take every Zelda one, and every couple of hours, every day I could do it, and scan every single one, and just watch stuff drop and drop and drop.
Oh, yeah. So, I did that with Hyrule Warriors, because you can scan 5 a day. So I just have my 5 lined up and just go, drop. All right, here's some gold. Drop. More gold. And I would do it until I did my 5 for the day. But in the beginning, there was on the Wii U version, there was no cap. So you would just go, bleep, bleep, bleep. And I would get like so many items in one day. And then they patched it. I was so pissed.
I don't think it's patched in a Breath of the Wild. So you can scan all of them at once.
So, Breath of the Wild, it's what brings the dog in the game, makes it harder, makes you take less damage, and then that's it, right?
Skins.
The other ones give you skins?
Yes.
Like all the random Mario ones and stuff?
Not certain ones give you certain skins.
So it's like kind of like an algorithm?
Yeah, exactly. And you have to keep scanning them until you get all of them, okay. But... if you have multiple versions of the amiibo, so, like, it was taking days to get them. I have so many amiibos that I got all of them at once.
That's ridiculous. That's like, come over to my house and bring all your amiibos so I can scan them all for gold.
Yeah, pretty much. The only other game I've been playing is Axiom Verge. I Again, Jim's been sick. I picked up my Vita, and I've been stuck in Axiom Verge, so I actually looked up a walkthrough guide where it was spoiler-free, and when I get stuck, I've been using that. So I'm very close. I'm on, like, the sixth boss, who's a bitch. I was trying to beat him before the episode started, but unfortunately I couldn't. But I've been really enjoying that game. I wanted to platinum the game, and then I saw what the trophy list was, and I was like, I don't want to platinum this game.
Well, what does the list consist of? I last saw the list, all you had to do was just, like, play the game once and then play it again.
Just bring it up.
Just bring it up. Okay, let's see. Hold on a second.
I only killed the two bosses, so, because I got lost and I have to, you know, get back at it again.
Is your Vita dead?
No. The sounds is on.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that playing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Can you go to
PlayStation.org? PlayStationTrophies.org?
PlayStation. Yes, I am. What a coincidence. How did you know?
Because that's the site everyone should go to for trophy information. It's not that PSN profile. No, bullshit. I'm on.
Well, I found it faster. I'm on PlayStationTrophies.org. Estimated difficulty 5 out of 10. That's all.
Well, what's the trophy list consist of?
Okay.
Oh, another trip to Trophy Corner.
Play through the game on hard mode while trying for 100% completion. There's a couple of missables. 100% items, 100% map, 100% weapons, 100% tools, 100% health. 100% okay, notes, so 100% power, secret world, bubble breaker, brick breaker, cryptologist. And then the other
complete
ones look
the game
like...
without dying.
Pacifist,
can't you
mercy,
say it's coming in that game?
No.
Well, if there's a new game plus and you have all the weapons, then what difference
get
does it
make? Get good. Yeah, get good. GG.
Okay. So,
let me just put this out here. Trophy Whores just celebrated their 400th episode, and we just spent more time talking about trophies than those fuckers do.
Fair point.
All right. Let's go to our topic of the show. Okay, favorite weapon type in a game. Thank you again, Steven, for this interesting topic idea, because I have a lot of them. Do you think we should break them down by type of game, or just talk about them in general?
I think we can do by type of game. What do you think, Roberta?
Doesn't matter to me.
Okay. So, the first weapon type, I was thinking RPG. What about you, Joe, what kind of...
My favorite type in an RPG?
Yeah.
Magic.
Oh, interesting. So, we're going fantasy at this point.
I just like mages. Mages are dope. Like, like Vivi in Final Fantasy IX. Awesome character. Awesome magic user. I like... My favorite spells are probably like Thundera and Phygra and Blizzdara. Like, just maxed out magic is just awesome, especially when you get to, like, the PlayStation 4 era of, like, using magic and how amazing it looked in, like, Final Fantasy 15. Like, when you would just use a magic spell and it would take up, like, the whole screen and just, like, blow everything up. It was cool. I definitely like poison spells, haste, all that stuff. I really like magic users, and I like magic. What about you, Roberto? What's like your favorite weapon type in RPG?
There's way too many. I can't lock it down to a single thing. I've played various RPGs. Metal Gear Solid could be considered an RPG. Kingdom Hearts obviously is an RPG. Fire Emblem's obviously an RPG. Cosmic Star Heroine is an RPG. There's way too many to lock down.
But is there, like, when you gravitate towards an RPG, is there a specific, like, weapon set? Like, for me, it's more specific. Like, he wants to only play mages.
Usually, for example, I guess with Chaos Bane, I chose the guy with the sword because I kind of like, I fight like a tank. I like to get up close and personal, then use shields and swords and, you know.
There you go. You like swords. You're a sword man.
Yeah, I never really liked, like, kind of staying on the bat in the front, like, in the... I don't like staying behind. Like, I like kind of, like, getting into the knit and grit of everything. So there's that. You know, I mean, I was playing that what was it? The not Van Helsing, but the what was the name of that RPG? It was the one where, what was it? Describe Victor it. Fran, Victor Fran. Now I remember. Victor Fran Overkill Edition. I mean,
that game's great.
Yeah, like, I liked using the range weapons. They were fun.
Yeah, is that like crossbow?
Well, there was like a shotgun, there was a rifle, there was, you know, then there was like the, using the scythe and all that stuff, and I kind of liked, you know, flipping between the two instantly while fighting.
Okay.
So I guess...
Dual wielding's fun. I like dual wielding. What do you think, Chloe?
I'm a dual wielder. You stole my answer. I like to play rogue, so I like to sneak up behind and stab. Kidney stab. Kidney stab.
So you like shivving people.
I do like shivving people.
Awesome. Remind me not to stand behind you, in front of you.
You first before that door, Joe. Yeah, no, I've always been attracted to the rogue. I like the thought of being able to come behind somebody, steal shit. Because it's not something I would do in real life. I'm not going to come up and steal from you. But in a video game, I will.
So it's like Skyrim, where you just stand there and like just pickpocket people in the city for hours to get your pickpocket skill up?
Well, I have Skyrim on 3 different systems.
Okay. You have it on your toaster yet?
No, not yet. I will put that on my list, though. And so every time I go to rebuy it, Jim's like, so... Are you going to play something besides a rogue? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm like, I'm a rogue.
Oh, it's like every time I boot up Diablo, I'm always a warrior first. Always. I just want to go and fuck shit up. Like, it's so easy to just play with, like, physical combat than it is to go and, like, learn a ranged character first. So I like going in with just balls blazing. Same thing in Borderlands. I just always pick, like, the tank. I'm like Roberto. I like to get up in there and just fuck shit up. I know if I had to pick a favorite weapon and not weapon type, it'd probably be Cloud's Buster Sword. Or Squall's, like, shotgun sword from Final Fantasy VIII, which is really badass. And a lot of people don't pick that weapon, but it's really cool. It was like a sword and a gun.
Ooh. Sword gun. Gun sword.
A skun.
A skun.
Or a swan.
Ooh, a swan. I like that. What about shooter? Do you have a favorite gun or in a shooter?
Me, once again, way too broad.
BFG.
No, I guess I can say the Bullseye from Resistance.
Okay, that's a good pick.
That was always... Just, it sounded like a ray gun, and it had that cool homing ability, and it was pretty neat, you know, really well designed. I mean, then again, it was Insomniac. They had some of the best weapon designers in gaming history there, and everything that was in that game, in all three of those games, was just a blast to use. Kind of makes me miss the series as a whole.
It was a great series. I just feel like once they put it on the Vita, they killed it.
But it wasn't even them. They
kept it on the home console.
But it wasn't even them that made it. It was some...
I know.
Some whatever called Nihilistic Entertainment, and they made the Bullseye sound like a BB gun, which was dumb.
There's so many problems with that game.
Yeah.
So, Roberto, do you like shotguns?
Yeah. Once again, it depends. I mean, there was the ones from Far Cry Blood Dragon that you can like upgrade, and it was like something that looked out of something out of Mad Max, and then even Mad Max has something like that too. So
Mad Max had great weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely like the shotgun from Doom, like the triple shotgun. Well, you can get it up to the triple shotgun by killing enough enemies, and then you can just like lay waste to everything. And then I love the BFG, the big fucking gun. It's like one of my favorite guns in Doom. It always has been. I always go to unlock it every time I play Doom. And in the newest Doom, when you get the BFG, it's in like the laboratory. And the fucking game is just amazing at that point.
Yeah. You
just like incinerate shit.
I used the BFG to beat the final boss in Rage 2.
Oh, nice.
That had to comprehend, didn't it?
You couldn't really use it on the boss in the last boss on Doom. It, like, wouldn't affect them. It was kind of stupid the way the game was, like...
No, in Rage 2, I got to the third phase of the last boss, and I couldn't beat him, and I kept dying, and I got pissed and pulled out the BFG and shot him in the face. Literally the BFG. There is a quest that I bought the Collector's Edition. There is a quest where it actually shoots from the sky. There's a meteor that falls down, and when you find the meteor, it's the BFG. It comes from the sky.
That's cool. So the BFG was DLC?
Yeah.
That's fucking cool. That's worth paying for.
Yep, it was part of the Collector's Edition.
Interesting. Was it ever released outside of the Collector's Edition as, like, just a BFG add-on or whatever?
I'm not 100% sure. I think so, but I'm not 100% sure.
I liked Rage, but not enough to play a Rage 2. Maybe I'll go back and revisit the series. But I don't know. There's just so much shit to play.
I'd lend it to you, but you can't play it.
Why, you have it on PC?
No. Xbox One X.
I'm not playing shit on Xbox, done.
So, my favorite shooter is actually the shotgun. I like to run around, and not only do I like to shoot you in the face, I like to say, shotgun to the face.
Nice. I like games where you can put the shotgun up their ass and blow their head off.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Isn't there a shotgun in Contra?
No, there's been the spread shot.
That's right, Steve. It's a fucking spread shot. It's not a shotgun.
There's never been a shotgun in Contra.
Exactly.
You know, if I'm nice, maybe I'll find out in September when the new one comes out.
There won't be a shotgun in that one either.
Well, there's a panda there happens to be a human who's now a panda who has also robot arms, so anything's possible. What can I say?
Did he fall into a puddle or like a little pond that had a panda that died before him?
I have no idea. I just know that I'm just going off the trailer.
I think he got a canister of mutagen and he got turned into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Panda.
That's probably plausible.
That would probably be a better story than what they're going to come up with for the game.
Yes.
We should probably also visit Monster Hunter, your favorite weapon in Monster Hunter, because you and I have played a lot of hours and we play together.
Yeah, we could definitely do that.
Roberto, did you play any Monster Hunter at all?
The closest I've had is God Eater, so I can't participate in this part of the conversation.
Alright, so we'll bring you in with God Eater. What's your favorite weapon in God Eater, which is very similar?
I don't know the exact name of the weapon, but there's, like, I have a sledgehammer, and it basically shatters armor, and then I have that combination with an assault, like a laser rifle, like a sniper, like a long rifle, and then a shield combo. Because the weapons in that game can, like, transform into three different things, and then the shield is actually pretty okay.
Which God Eater have you played? Just one and two?
Resurrection. Just Resurrection. I have two. And I have...
We gotta play Resurrection together. You have PS4?
Yes, and I have the Vita.
We gotta play the PS4 version together. We should just blast through the campaign. Because I have the second one, too.
Oh, how many players is it? Online. Can I join?
What? It is online. I played it with Corey.
Okay. So good, the servers are still hot. But,
100% they're still hot.
Yeah. But yeah, it could take up to four players.
Oh, shit, four players.
Yeah, it's always...
Resurrection's not expensive. I think it's like...
I poured 30 hours on my own, because nobody will play me.
Go online and buy a copy of...
God Eater Resurrection.
God Eater 2, and it comes with a copy of God Eater Resurrection for free. It's still in there. Because the code is good to like, 2,199. I just looked at the expiration date on it the other day, because my daughter pulled it out of my copy... But I already traded in, like, day one.
What about your Monster Hunter weapon?
Where does one start? If I have to go, like, OG, I'm definitely a Sword and Shield player. Only because of the basic simplicity of learning Sword and Shield to begin with. And then I just kind of stuck with it. But I do love Insect Glaive from, like, Monster Hunter Ultimate 3. And Ultimate 4, I played a lot with the Switch Axe. I kind of move around. If I had to pick a favorite, I'd probably still pick Sword and Shield, though. I just like its versatility. I like you can do some defense with it, but also get off some offense. I like to play with, like, an adapt style or a launch style. Like, so I can launch myself in the air no matter what I'm doing, so I can mount easily. And that's kind of, like, the style I...
He said mount.
What about you, Kalai? What styles do you like in Monster Hunter?
Well, I started with dual blades, but then I started exploring other options, and I really like the Switch Axe. Like, love the Switch Axe.
That's good. I mean, dual blades makes you look like that chick from X-Blades from 360. So, like, I try to stay away from the dual blades. Because that game sucked.
Oh, God.
Do we have a bunch of questions from the Facebook page today? Did we have a bunch of conversation on this topic?
We did. I had it up, and then, of course, my phone lost it, so let me just find it again. I shouldn't be that hard to find it, right? We have had a lot of posts lately. Keep the posts coming, people. We really do like to see them.
I just like the conversation, guys.
Steven said, topic suggestion for the show soon. They spoke about this on Game Scoop this week, but I really think a deep dive would be cool. What is your favorite weapon in type in a game? For me, it's single shot weapons. I love those pop, pop, pop type guns. I prefer them to be handguns, but a bolt action type rifle is just as good. Which, Joe, you said, like the spread gun. Steven responded with shotgun, a buckshot, cool. Andrew said, I'm also a big bolt-action rifle fan when it comes to shooters, though that is closely rivaled by triple-burst rifles. For melee weapons, it always and forever will be the maul, two-handed hammer. And then Andrew, sorry, Steven said, if you have a choice in a game, like Fallout, do you go two-handed melee or over the bolt? And Andrew said, depends on what the character concept is. In Fallout specifically, I tend towards bold action as it fits better in that game.
I mean, with Fallout, there's just so many different things to account for, like VATS. Because of VATS, When I first played through Fallout 3, I played through all melee. I didn't use any weapons. I just went up to Shing and just used VATS and just beat the shit out of everything with, like, a lead pipe or the biggest weapon I could find. Then when, like, I moved on further into the game and I got better weapons, I would just use shotguns because they, like, and just aim for the head with VATS and just kill everything with headshots.
Shotgun to the face.
Boom.
DJ says, are we talking full arsenal across all game types? If that's the case, huge two-handed swords. We're talking slow swings but cuts a tree in half. If we are talking FPSs, bolt action rifles has always been my favorite. Steven says, full arsenal, like Fallout. Matt says, I really been digging MLGs, because ever since Battlefield Bad Company 2 and the overpowered M60, it's fun to just mow down waves of mobs, only slightly in the lead with Gears Chainsaw Lancer. Ooh, the Chainsaw Lancer is really good.
Holy shit, the Chainsaw Lancer is probably the best weapon in a shooter ever. It combines my two favorite things in the world. Shooting shit and sawing in half.
And we didn't say anything.
No, I totally forgot about the Lancer. My friends would kill me.
Well, on the
that weapon is amazing. Well, that put Gears in the map.
Mm-hmm.
In 2011, there was a Warhammer video game called Warhammer Space Marine, and it actually had the ability.
That game was fucking awesome.
Yes, it was, and then you had the ability to use the chainsaw sword. So
yep,
not quite the
that
Lancer,
game
but that
was
great.
Awesome.
It was.
Like, they should have made like 50 sequels.
Yeah.
The story was tight. The gameplay was tight. You could play the whole game multiplayer with somebody. What an amazing game.
Yeah.
What do? They fucking go back to making the other Warhammer games.
Don't lose hope. You never know.
Maybe we'll get a remastered.
I hope so.
Speaking of that, I forgot to say something before. I think maybe they're pulling the remaster of DuckTales to re-release it on modern platforms and remaster it again.
Which ones?
DuckTales. I think they're going to put it on PS4, and they're going to put it on Xbox One.
I hope so, because...
I hope so, too. Then I can get the platinum again.
Matt from the podcast says, always bows. I always gravitate towards an archer-class weapon if there is one.
Legolas fan.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why you responded, Joe, because you're on the podcast. luckily. Christopher says, give me a spoon and I'll show you some top-notch murderability.
Show me a game where you can play with a spoon and I'll accept your response.
Fallout?
You can't fight someone with a spoon. You can pick up a spoon and use it to make a weapon, but you can actually fight with it. That'd be cool if you could, though. Maybe in those stages where you're a baby at the beginning and you're trying to pick your traits, and you could stab the doctor with the end of a spoon, you just, like, sharpen it and, like, shiv him. Maybe that will work.
Wasn't there a Matrix video game?
Matrix?
Yes, there was two.
Yeah, they were both dope.
Can you fight with a spoon in that game?
No.
No.
Really?
No, but you could trip into Matrix. I think the GameCube one, Enter the Matrix, was really good, where you could, like, decode in the game. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I never did that, but that is, yes, one thing you could have done.
That was really cool. You could, like, debug things and, like, make things crash. It was fucking cool.
Apparently, I've never played it.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't. Like, a lot of people. What was the second game, Roberto? Was that the PS2 one?
That was Path of Neo. Both were on PS2.
That's right. The other one did get put on PS2.
Yeah.
Path of Neo was good, too, though. That just followed the storyline of the three movies, didn't it?
Right.
Yeah, that was a really good game. I beat that game.
Alright, we want to wrap this up. Roberto, do you have any closing thoughts?
Well, that, you know, it's cool to take a breather and kind of recognize some of the more fun parts of games. And I guess, you know, there's still a lot more out there. Like, there's Grand Theft Auto, there's Saints Row. There's a bunch of other, you know, there's the mercenary games, which, like, you know, which allowed you to use, like, military airstrikes. So, yeah.
Those were
fun. There's also my personal favorite, which was the Kurosawa plasma cannon from Armored Core, just to name a few. So, yeah, there's a lot of other different types of utilities out there that are pretty cool to talk about.
It's the AK-47. When you absolutely, positively have to kill every motherfucker in the room, no substitutes.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Joe?
I mean, this topic could go on for days. I mean, you could give multiple responses for each genre. I tried to keep it simple and tried to keep the topic flowing. I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, sound off in the comments on the episode when it posts.
For me, it's stabby, 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 and shotgun to the face.
Nice.
And, so if you do like us, please subscribe and rate us. You can check us out on Twitter at GameStuffCast. You can check us out on Facebook. Just search the GameStuff Podcast and ask for an invite, because we want friends. We do have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/provengamer. Roberto, how can they get in touch with you?
StackUp.org Military Gaming Charity, Belt Wythel Podcast Video Game Contributor, Twitter handle at JetHootie88, and my PlayStation Network ID is VectorMan88. Please go to the GameStuff Facebook podcast group for all to respond to me as well. And yeah, I'll see you around.
And what about you, Joe?
You can get in touch with me on PlayStation Network and Twitter at MrTMNT84. And that's where you can get in touch with me.
And you can get in touch with me at Twitter at Kalai21. That's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. Also, you can get in touch with me on Steam at that same handle. You can get in touch with me on PlayStation at Miley, M-A-I-L-E, 1978. And Miley21 for Xbox. And of course, I'm always in the podcast group lurking and stalking. Because my job's a little boring.
Your job is not boring. You edit the podcast.
I'm talking about my other job.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking boring.
We do have some sponsors. We're sponsored by Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal. It does help out the site. Also, we are partnered with Humble Bundle. We support the charity Extra Life. If you go into my show notes, you can click on the Humble Bundle link. Do all kinds of cool shopping for cheap PC games. You know, there's Switch games. And I'm sure there's... No, I don't know if there's PS4 games, because PS4 is pulling a lot of those digital stuff away.
I know Kali and I might be planning some sort of stream soon. We will drop details in the GameStop Facebook group when we get those details more clarified. We also are probably going to do something really cool for Extra Life this year, and we'll keep you posted on that when that becomes more, I guess, how would I put it? When the details are more thought out and
solidified.
Confirmed. Solidified. Thank you. It's fucking late, and I can't think.
We do have some other shows. If you like our shows, check out The Trophy Horse.
Or don't.
And the Nintendo Dual Screens.
Yeah, check them out. They fucking rule.
I also want to thank Isaac Sago for doing our logo, and of course the band Take Away the Ugly. Thank you, guys.
Oh, shit. Guys, make sure you watch Daryl's show, the flagship show of Proven Gamer, PG Spoilers. He puts out new episodes all the time. Check him out. He's the flagship show. Oh, and he has more platinums than Tricky.
Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
Check you later, guys. We'll be right back.